Praise the Lord. Well, we wrap up our series this morning on generous, and I feel like it's been a fun series, a challenging series, an encouraging series. Definitely have hit on some of those areas where, you know, I think when we think about speaking to the areas of our life of giving, it is certainly always a challenge to us when we think about opening up our pocketbook and giving back to the Lord. But it's so important for us to recognize how generous God is to us. And the way that we acknowledge that oftentimes is to open up our pocketbook. But today, my emphasis is going to be around giving thanks to God for also much more than just what He provides for us, right, in our provisions. And the title of my message today is Give Thanks. Coming into that time of Thanksgiving, the turkey, all the trimmings that we'll celebrate this week. Oh man, I can't wait, but it's so much more than that. In Psalm 100, verse 4 through 5, gives us a great picture of how we come before the Lord. And if you will, it's talking about coming into the temple of God, coming before Him in worship. And it says, go into His gates, giving thanks, and into His holy place with praise. Give thanks to Him, honor His name, for the Lord is good. Do you agree with that this morning? Is God good in your life? For the Lord is good. His loving kindness lasts forever. He is faithful to all people and to all their children to come. Another translation says to all generations. You know, God's goodness is not just to us. When we follow Him, God's promise of goodness is to our children who come after us. That's the beauty of being willing to follow God with our life. To be dedicated to Him is to secure not just blessings for our life, not just His love and His compassion and His mercy for our life, but it is to secure that for our children's lives. Amen. And, you know, the Bible also says in the Psalms that one generation will proclaim the wondrous works of our God, right, to the next. That we have a responsibility to hold fast to the things that God does in our life, those amazing works that God does in our life, that we're to take a hold of those and proclaim them to the next generation. That the beauty of seeing children walk in with these boxes, to see this Operation Christmas Child, and to see them walk in with these boxes, to see families doing this together, is that they're participating and being a blessing to other people around the world in doing the work of God. You're proclaiming the wondrous works of God, right, to your children by acting together to do something in the mission of Christ. What you're doing is proclaiming the wondrous works of God to the next generation. And in a sense, what you're doing is securing for them that testimony to then share with the next generation. Amen? And we're called to do that. I want to share with you five things that I believe that we are to give thanks for with regard to generosity, being generous back to God and giving thanks. And that is that we're to give thanks to God for His everlasting love. Give thanks to God for His everlasting love. Psalms 107:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Now, I don't know about you, but when you think about the message of the gospel, it's called the good news. Have you ever heard of the gospel called the good news? Right? We're to share the good news. When you hear for the first time that God's love endures forever, and when you came to Christ, did you think that you were going to get everything right? You were never going to make another mistake? Anybody? Right? You came to Christ, you gave your life to Christ, and you thought, man, I'm going to get it all right from here forward. Come on. Anybody think that? Right? I kind of thought that. Maybe I live in a world of my own that I heard the message, and it's like, when I give my life to Jesus, man, you know, I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be different than I was before. Come on, right? And that was true, but I found out that I had while I was born again and my spirit man came to life and I began to live a little bit different, right? I began to forgive people and I began to act a little different than I did before. I found out that my flesh man, I still had to contend. You know, in our second service, we're going to do baptism again. You know, a few weeks back, we had a baptism, baptized 7 people. This week, today, I think we baptized 5 people today. You know, I look at that life change that takes place. And the Bible says that we lay down that old man, we bury the old man in the water, and we come up to walk in that new and living way. And all of us, you know, who have taken that step and lay that old man down to come up and walk in the new and living way, find out that old man jumps up out of the water and tries to chase us back down. Can I get an amen in the house of the Lord? Maybe online too, right? It chases us down. It wants to take a hold of us, right? The Bible refers to that the spirit wars against the flesh, right? And the flesh against the spirit. That there's a battle that continues to rage, if you will, where our flesh man still wants to have control, but our spirit man, amen, he wants to be in charge, and God wants the Spirit to be in charge. And he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can live out, right, a life that reflects God's glory and his grace and his love and so on and so forth. Well, how can we do that if we come to Christ and we make a mistake? How is it that we don't get caught into this place of condemnation? It's like, oh, I gave my life to Christ and I messed up. Well, God, I can't get saved again. God just, he's going to have to give up on me. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, right? They're new every morning. God's love is everlasting. He doesn't give up on you, amen? And that's what this is saying. We need to be thankful. Let me say, every single day of our life, we need to be thankful for God's enduring love, amen? Psalm 118, 28 through 29 says this, "You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you." That's what we just did in the midst of praise and worship. We're praising him, and we're exalting him. We're lifting him high. We understand, I've said this so many times, to worship means to bow. It means to come low. That doesn't mean that I'm unworthy, right? God makes me worthy through his son, Jesus Christ. Through his love, he makes me worthy. But in making me worthy, it doesn't make me better than God. Come on now. I understand that to be made worthy, for God to lift me up, I have to come under him. And that means to bring myself low, to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. And what happens is God will exalt me in due time. He'll lift me up, right? But I got to lift him up in my life if I want to be lifted up. I got to exalt the Lord, amen. And watch what it says here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Here it is. His love endures forever. Give thanks to God for his everlasting love. The second thing that we need to give thanks to God. All of this ties back to this. It's easy for us to just go through life with the happenings. You know, go to work. You know, any of you got kids that play soccer? And you got 3 or 4 kids that play soccer or sports or have some kind of activities. And you got 2 parents, right? And you got 3 or 4 kids, right? How do you split that up? I just want to know. You get what I'm, right? It's like, I'll run this one over there. And then we got a parent that we know over here and they'll hang out with them and I'll run this one over here. Right? You ever do that, right? You got to kind of make it work, right? What I'm saying to you is that to understand that in all the things that are going on in your life and being pulled in so many directions and having so many demands on your life, what happens is it's easy for us to just kind of look at it and say, I have nothing left to give. I want to put something in front of you here. This is why when we read the Bible and it talks about giving God the first fruits of our life, that we don't give God our leftovers, we bring to him the first fruits of all of our increase. We give him of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Why is it that we give God of our first? Why is it that we give him of what seems to be, right, the best? Why does God want my best? Can anybody tell me that? Why does he want my best? So that he can cause increase in my life. so that he can cause my time to go further, so that he can cause my money to go further, so that he can cause my talent to go further. Come on now. That God will show up and work in your life in a miraculous way and make things work out a whole lot better than just you doing it by yourself. Can you say amen? Look, the second thing is we give God, right? Thanks to God for his unending mercies. We give thanks to God for his unending mercies. Psalm 118, 28 through 29 says, "You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." His mercies endure forever. That God's mercy towards you is not something that's going to end. It's something that's going to continue on and on and on. You cannot measure forever. We like to think that we can understand forever, but we can't understand forever, right? Somebody used an illustration one time that if a bird flew by Pike's Peak, a mountain, they said, but let's just use Pike's Peak because we live at the base of Pike's Peak, right? If a bird flew by Pike's Peak and could peck at Pike's Peak each and every day and just peck the pebble off Pike's Peak each and every day over and over and over again until it could make Pike's Peak just a flat plain, right? How long do you think that would take? That would barely scratch forever. You get it? We can't comprehend how long forever is. The Bible says that our life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. End forever. Therefore, although the Bible tells us that God's mercies, his love is forever, we can't truly comprehend it. It still calls us, right, to be thankful for it, though. And also much more, should we be thankful for God's mercy and for God's love because we can't comprehend it, because of the vast generosity of God that's in the midst of his everlasting love and his everlasting mercy. Should we be generous back to him, thankful, generous with our thankfulness back to God for it? Look at Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord, here, listen to this, is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. I don't put my hope in anything else. I put my hope in God. I don't put my hope in my job. Let me say this. I don't put my hope in you. Look, I hope in my wife. I love my wife, right? I love my daughter. I don't put my hope in people. Come on now. Oh, that's a big one right there. It's like, man, that's kind of mean. No, it's really not. You know, the Bible says that Jesus trusted no man. Did you know that? We don't put our hope in people. We put our hope in God. And you know what that allows us to do? That allows us to have a whole lot of compassion and a whole lot of faith in what God can do in the midst of people's, it's okay. It allows God to work in the midst of our failings and our shortcomings, in the midst of relationships, right? The ups and the downs of life. We stay consistent and we stay on course, not because of what we're capable of doing, but because of what God is capable of doing. Can you say amen? We need to put our trust in God. We need to be thankful for his unending mercies. The third thing that we need to give thanks to God, we need to be generous with our thanksgiving towards God, is for the peace of Christ. The peace that Christ gives us. We need to be thankful for that. I think somebody's phone or something's up here talking to me. For the peace of Christ. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace." And be thankful. And be thankful that we are called to peace. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to peace. And in being called to that peace, we're to be thankful for the peace that comes through Christ. Look, here's the thing that happens. It's so often as things take place in our life, we give our life to Christ, and in a sense, when we read the message of Christ or we hear the gospel, we have this undertaking that everything's going to be okay and everything's going to be easier and everything. Look, there'll be troubles and there'll be challenges in life, even though you follow Christ. But you can have peace in the midst of those challenges and those troubles. I want to say that COVID has affected the Christian just as much as it has the non-Christian. Could you say that's true? Right? Let me say when you've gone to the store, let me say when you've gone to the store or the restaurant, when you went in, did they say you need to wear your mask? You all hearing me? Just as much as the non-Christian, right? So those things going on, we don't need to lose our peace in the midst of what's going on in the world. We need to have peace in our relationship with Christ. We need to be grateful in the midst of everything that's going on to Christ and be at peace. As a matter of fact, the world should look at us and really question, why do they have so much peace in the midst of so much trouble? That was a great place to say amen. And they look at us, they're like, man, why aren't they falling apart like everybody else? Why aren't they freaking out like everybody else? And let me say this, that whichever way elections go, you want it to go this way, you want it to go that way, I might have my own preferences, but I got to tell you something, I'm not going to lose my peace no matter which way it goes, because here's what I know, King Jesus still sits on his throne. And my Bible tells me this, that one day, right, the kingdoms of this earth, right, the kingdoms of man will become the kingdoms of our God, right? Every nation, tribe, and tongue is going to call him Lord. You know, this earth is maybe not subjected to that point yet, but there's a day that it will come. As a matter of fact, God, when Jesus ascended on high and God said, here, son, he said to his son, set at my right hand. What does that mean, set at my right hand? Place of power and authority. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, the Bible says, and given him a name that is above every other name. Right? That at that name, right, every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Your son, set at my right hand, he says, until I make, right, your enemies your footstool. What is that saying? It's basically saying, look, if you don't know this, the scripture talks about the earth being God's footstool. I mean, you think kingdom-wise, it's like, well, does that mean we're God's footstool? No. When you come to Christ, you need to understand you're a part of his kingdom, right? You're children of God. You're royalty in that sense. You're translated out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You're no longer a part of this world, but you're a part of the kingdom of God. And you ought to have the peace of Christ ruling in your hearts because he is the ruler of the whole universe. Amen. And so we should never be troubled as the world is troubled with the things that go on around it. Look at what Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It will guard your hearts and minds. And I see a lot of people, and even a lot of believers, whose hearts and minds are not guarded because they're not thankful. They're not approaching God with a thankful heart. They're approaching God with worry. Let me say something to you about God when you pray. Approaching God with, oh my gosh, God, everything's falling apart. Lord, did you know that the way things are going, it's turning out for the worst. God's like, yeah, man, I know. It's so bad. Right? Look, you understand I'm being sarcastic, you know, and God may not be sarcastic with us, but I'm saying to you, God's not shocked at what's going on in the earth. He's not like, oh, I got caught off guard by that one. Come on. I mean, when you approach God, God, I am so thankful that you're in my life. God, I know none of this has caught you off guard. It's caught me off guard. God, these things going on in my life right now, they've caught me off guard. I know they haven't you. Lord, would you help me not to be anxious? Would you give me the peace of Christ in the midst of this situation? And when you cause me to see things the way that you see them, would you cause me to hear what you're speaking in this situation? So the Lord, just like the moment the disciples are in the boat and they see Jesus and they think he's a ghost and they lose their peace and they cry out, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, it's I. It is me. You know, look, it's Jesus. Lord, if it's you, bid me come on the water, Peter says, right? Come. I mean, Jesus was not complex, right? He was pretty simple. And we tend to make God complex, and God's not. Look, life may not be easy, but God is not complex with us. He's pretty simple. And what happens? Come. And so Peter steps out. He starts to walk on water. You might have some stormy, shaky, scary situations going on in your life. You may look at everything that's going on around you, and it may be a little, you know, stormy and scary. But I want you to know that you can walk on the water of those situations, right? Now, here's the thing. The waves start to rise, and all that starts to happen around Peter, right? And he gets his eyes on the storm, and he loses his peace. He loses the word that was spoken. Jesus said, come. Come walk on the water with me. And he loses sight of what he, right? Jesus spoke. He responded to what he heard. And then he got focused on what he saw. And he lost what he heard. And then he started to sink. And then what does he do? He cries out, right? Here's the prayer. He cries out. And you know what? Peter didn't get it. You know, when you're sinking, when things seem to be falling apart all around you, it's amazing how quick your prayers become. Anybody ever notice that? You know, look, you're not very religious when things are desperate. Come on now. We get real religious when things, it's kind of like when things aren't that, it's, oh Lord, and we go into this real long, drawn out, you know, religious kind of style of prayer. If I say all these things, then God will hear me. You know, the Bible actually teaches the opposite. The Pharisees, you know, they thought they would be heard for their many prayers, their many words. Right? No. Jesus' prayers were simple and to the point. And do you know in that moment, Peter's prayer was simple and to the point, right? It was kind of like, Lord, help! What does Jesus do? He reaches down and he takes hold of his hand and he lifts him up. And he has a statement, oh, ye of little faith. Jesus wants you to have faith, amen? Pray prayers that call upon him. Be thankful that he's in your life. Know that he wants to help you. Know that he wants you to have peace in your life in the midst of any situation. But that peace comes because you know he is the source of that peace. Amen. The fourth thing that we need to be thankful for, have a generosity towards God and be thankful for. And oftentimes, let me say this before it goes up here. You didn't put it up here yet. Good, good. Because there's a lot of reasons to be critical about this fourth area and be unthankful about it. Through COVID, this fourth area, through COVID, we see businesses shutting down. But through COVID, the statistics are showing that 1 in 5 churches will close their door. 1 in 5. And there's a lot of reasons to be critical of the church. There's a lot of things that could be done better. And I want to say to you that, you know, that goes for about anything in life. Could you say amen? Amen. But the fourth area that we need to show a generous gratitude towards, a generous thankfulness toward, is the church, your church family. Be thankful for the people that you gather with, be it that you're physically here today or you're gathering online. That as we come through this pandemic, when this all ends, what will emerge? To think that 1 in 5 churches in America are going to close their doors. That's a daunting thought in the sense of how much America needs the church. The more you've seen the church lose its place in America, the more you've seen America, I will say, backslide. The more distant it's become towards God, the more ungrateful it's been towards God, the further it's gotten away from God, the more we see the very things that Scripture teaches us, right? If you forget the Lord, then this is what will come upon you as a nation. The more we see God forgotten, the more we see people unthankful towards God, the more we see God's blessing lifted from America. As we return to God, God's blessing comes upon us. As we are unthankful toward Him, we turn away from Him, His blessing lifts. And we need America to turn back to God as a nation. And let me tell you how that happens. It first begins with the church. The Bible says that judgment comes first to the house of God, to the people of God. And if you think about the churches are closing, why are they closing? Because it's more convenient just to be at home. I don't need to go to church. No, you don't need to come to the building. Let me just say that. But you need people in your life. Well, I can do that by myself. No, you cannot. And Jesus is the one that declared that. And it's unthankful to Him. Let me say this. It's unthankful to Jesus to basically say, I'll redefine, Jesus, what the church needs to be, and I'll deny what you said it needs to be. Jesus designed us to need one another. Now, you can read all through the New Testament, and you're going to find out that we have gifts that differ. God has given you gifts to serve and love and minister to one another. And you can't do that unless you interact with each other. Amen? So I'm not referring to the building. I'm referring to the people that you do have to come together and minister to one another with the gifts that God's given you. The building's just a place where you can come and do that. Your home is a place where you can come and do that. You want to know what? The coffee shop's a place you can go and do that. Amen? I don't care where you go and do that, but come together with other people and minister to one another. Amen? So be thankful for your church family. Ephesians 1:15 through 16 says this: For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. There's prayer again. The people of God giving thanks for one another, but also remembering one another in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 1:2-3 says this: We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Read that again. We always, say always. Always, not sometimes, but we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the fifth one, which speaks back to this, is be thankful for the power of prayer. Be thankful for the power of prayer. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful and thankful. Watchful, why watchful? Man, the Bible talks about this. Do not forsake the gathering together of the brethren and sisters, right? as believers. Don't forsake the gathering together, right? And so much more as you see the day approaching, right? Be watchful. Be on your guard. Be watchful. Don't forsake the gathering together. Why? And so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will return for the church, for the faithful, for those who believe in him and gather together and encourage one another. By the way, the Bible says that those who have spurred one another on to good works, on to good works that you're, you know, you think about the children being back there right now. There are people back there right now. Many of you volunteer in any given week to serve the children, to teach them the things of God. You spur one another on to the good works of the Lord. To what works? To share the faith. To see Christ formed in the hearts of other people. And God's called us all to that. And let me say this, that when we think of people who are facing the sword, what do I mean by that? So, hey, if you gather together in faith, if you read the Bible or you gather as a church or you get together as a small group and you're following Jesus, we'll chop your head off for that. I mean, you think about it. You got brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. If they gather like we gathered here today, they could literally lose their head for it. That's the persecution they face. And for us, it's like, you know, well, don't get together because there's a pandemic going on. And look, I'm not saying there isn't safety precautions. I'm saying, though, that if it just comes down to, well, you know, we'll never go back to normal. I don't accept that. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe this. I believe that we're going to get back to normal, right? Here's the deal. We're allowed to assemble. I don't know if you all know the Constitution, right? But I like the idea of assembling, right? That we're allowed to assemble, right? That comes back to, I like how our founding fathers established that we could come together and we could share ideas, right? Especially ideas from Scripture. And we don't forsake the gathering together so that we can share, right, the Scriptures and grow in the faith and follow Christ, right? And grow as believers and see others come to Christ. See others make a public commitment so that people can see them declare for all to see, right? You know what? The Bible talks about this being that outward profession, or if you will, for all to see that I declare I'm going to follow Christ. And I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? For it is the power of God unto salvation. And they want others to see that. And I will tell you this, I've seen more people come to a commitment of faith in Jesus Christ by watching others be baptized than anything else that's ever been done. That when people take that step of faith and let others see it, I've watched people who haven't taken that step witness it and say, I want to do that. Wonder why that is. I don't know, maybe because Jesus is the one that said, right, go into all the world, right, and make disciples. Teach them to obey all I've commanded you to do, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Maybe Jesus knew something about how people would follow him in the faith. I don't know. It's just a thought. Do you think Jesus maybe knew better than any of us could ever know how people could witness, right, folks taking a step to follow him and then others would want to follow him? Amen. The power of prayer. Look at Luke 18, 1 through 8 here. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. He didn't fear God. He didn't care about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Be thankful for the power of prayer. You want to know what shows the greatest gratitude to God? You want to know what shows the greatest thanksgiving to God? With a focus of prayer, the greatest thing is that you keep coming back to him with prayer. Yeah. Why? Because the thing that declares that you're thankful to God is faith. Let me say it this way, is that God, I'm thankful that I can come to you because I believe that you actually hear me. You see that? That if I pray a prayer, he's not going to listen. Oh, no, he's going to listen. My gratitude, when I come to God, the greatest gratitude I can give him is knowing that he's listening to me. Knowing that he is acknowledging every prayer I pray. This parable, Jesus, is he going to do it slowly? It says there quickly. He'll answer your prayer quickly if you approach him with faith. Be grateful. Come to God in prayer. Be thankful that he gives you the power of prayer, that you can approach him with that. I want to say to you that Jesus didn't do anything. He did nothing unless he prayed. If you go read every story, every single story of miracles done, every story when Jesus is performing a miracle, it always begins with prayer. Every single one. And I got to say, I'll confess to you, I often kind of go to fix a problem, or I'm thinking about how could I do this or do that. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, you know, I didn't even pray about that. Can I get an amen on that? Like, did I even pray about that? I didn't even start with prayer. And let me kind of rewind and go back here and pray first, you know. I need to learn how to approach God with prayer first. And I think about it, Jesus, every single time, approached God with prayer. Remember Lazarus when he calls him forth from the grave? He just stands outside the grave. Father, I thank you, you always hear me. Simple prayer. I thank you, you always hear me. And then comes the simple request, and it goes like this. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes walking out of the grave. Come on now. I mean, it wasn't a long prayer. It was pretty simple. And God answered him quickly. Amen. Every miracle ever witnessed is connected to thanksgiving. Father, I thank you that you always hear me. Lazarus, come forth. Right? Last week, I talked about when Jesus fed the 5,000. What does he do? He takes the bread and he gives thanks for it. He takes the fish and he does the same. He gives thanks. And what happens? It begins to multiply. Every prayer Jesus ever prayed began with giving thanks. When you celebrate Thanksgiving, just understand it's more than just a holiday. It's more than just a meal. It's more than just time with your family. It's a time to reflect on whether or not you give thanks to God first in everything you do. And I'll say that if you can begin to do that, you'll start to witness more miracles in your life. Amen. And share this final story with you, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond today. There's a guy named Naaman in the Old Testament. Naaman was a Syrian general, very successful Syrian general. And Naaman had leprosy. And Naaman there was a servant girl. She was from Israel, servant girl in his household. And he was a very respected general. And she said, oh, but if my master, you know, could go to Israel, he could receive a miracle. And go to Israel, he could receive a miracle, so on and so forth, the story goes. So the connection's made to the king. The letter goes to the king of Israel, and he's distraught because it's, oh my gosh, what are you bringing this before me? You know, you're bringing this situation before me, and it distressed him because he saw nothing but a possible conflict coming out of it. And so then what happens is Elisha hears of the letter, and Elisha is stirred with that, and he's basically like, hey, bring him to me. Let him come to me. Naaman comes to Elisha the prophet and stands outside his door. And basically, Elisha just tells him, hey, go to the Jordan River and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Now, the Jordan River was known to be a very muddy, dirty river. Naaman, I mean, he's a man of prestige. Come on now. Right? Go dip in the Jordan River. Naaman is offended. Naaman is, are you even kidding me? I mean, I got cleaner waters back at home. You're asking me to go dip in this filthy river? Naaman's servant said, if he asked you to do a hard thing, would you not have done it? And Naaman realized, he's like, yeah. Naaman realized he's been given a word. I mean, here's a guy with leprosy. He's got the death sentence on his life. He's been given a word by a man of God, and he is ungrateful. He's unthankful for it. The generosity of God is being displayed. Here's what you need to go do. And he's unwilling to do it. But exhorted by his servant, if he'd asked you to do a hard thing, wouldn't you have done it? And Naaman goes down into the Jordan, dips 7 times. And the Bible says he comes up out of the water, and his skin is restored back to being like a little child's skin. Like baby skin. You know, those soft and sweet baby skin. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know? And all of a sudden, Naaman's like wanting to give him, silver. And the prophet's like, no, you know, mules, you know. Here's the thing, right? It comes down to it, and it's not about that. It's just about obedience. It's about thankfulness. Amen. If he had asked you to do a hard thing, wouldn't you have done it? And here's what I'll tell you. All God wants you to do is be thankful. All God wants you to do is be like him. And this morning, what I wanted to do is as we are in this Thanksgiving season, we didn't take our offering earlier. And I just wanted to challenge you this morning during our offering. Be thankful to God for everything he does in your life. I'm not asking you to do anything weird or crazy. I'm just going to say this to you. Give to the Lord this morning. We have 3 ways that you can give. You can give with our online. You can give with our back at the back at our kiosk. Or you can give with our church center app. But I challenge you in that to say this. That aren't you thankful that God gave his son to die for you? Be thankful and give back to God in your life. And it's not just about today, and it's not just about Thanksgiving week. It's about always being thankful for what God does in your life and giving back to him. And this is what we always like to say here, of your time, of your talent, of your treasure, of your life, give back to God. Amen. Let me pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everything that you do in our life. And Lord, this morning I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, this week would, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, it'd be a week where we think about what is Thanksgiving really all about? How are we measuring our thanksgiving? How are we, God, recognizing your giving into our life? And how are we giving thanks to you? Lord, not one miracle ever happened in the Bible where thanks wasn't involved. Lord, if it was a sovereign move of you, that you did something sovereignly and did a miracle, and then, Father, people's response was to give thanks. Or, Lord, that people gave thanks and you did a miracle. Thanksgiving was always, Lord God, a part of any miracle that took place in your word. And I think, Lord God, of even the flood. Lord, when the waters, Father, covered the earth in your judgment, when the waters subsided, an altar was built, Lord, sacrifice giving, Father, thanks was made. That, Lord God, even in that sovereign act, Lord, after, Lord, your move, thanks was giving, Lord, to you. So, Father, I pray that we find that thanksgiving, Lord God, is central to every miracle that happens, Lord God, that comes from you in our lives, in our children's lives, in our families, Lord, in the lives of our friends, that, Lord, we would find ourselves in that place, being thankful for your everlasting love, for your mercies, God, that never come to an end. Lord, being thankful, Lord Jesus, for the peace that you give. Being thankful, God, for the church family that we have. Being thankful for the peace, Lord God, that you bring us. Being thankful, Lord, for the power that we have in prayer this morning. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, and I ask your blessings on all the celebration that your people will have this week. Amen and amen.